Blog Talk Radio.
Like to welcome our radio audience to the Crossroad broadcast. And to God be the glory for the great and for the mighty things that he has done. We are broadcasting from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida, where God will receive all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. The word of God say, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto him. And yes, he is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. He has not some power, but he has all power in his hand. And we thank God because he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask and above all that we think. I am your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. My co-host is Dr. Joyce Bynes and Dr. Gloria Pastor, who will not be on our broadcast on today. But where no counsel is, the people will fall. But in the multitudes of the counselor, there is safety. That is taken from Proverbs, the 11th chapter and the 14th verse. And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and Adam slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And I believe that that was the first surgery that we found in the Word of God. When God took Adam, he put him to sleep, just like the anesthesiologist, but in a different manner, in a way that was supernatural, put him to sleep. He was able to remove a rib from Adam and then put him back. The surgeon would suture that individual back together, but God, it let us know that he was able to put him back together. And so that was a miracle within itself. While he slept, he took the rib, clothes of the flesh of Adam. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. When I listen at that song of security by Leon Battaglia, I see the love that he had for the woman that he was going to marry. I believe that even as you listen to those words, that you see that this man has found a wife. When I began to listen to the words, I want you to even just to listen to the words. You heard the lyrics. You heard some of the words. But he said, when a man finds a wife, he has found a good thing for his life. And the woman will agree. Companionship has made her feel so complete. With you and me and the Lord above, we have security. We have security. You fill my life with so much joy. I can't even remember how I was before. And though sometimes we disagree, you still know that I love you and you love me. With you and me and the Lord above, we have security. We have security. With God and joined together, he says, let no man put asunder. Nothing can separate you from me. I worship you and adore you. I put no one else before you. This is my vow to you, my love, through all eternity. And now, at last, I understand. Our love was made in heaven before the word began. And the world began. And as we dream, as lovers do, pray that all we hope for all will come true. With you and me and the Lord up above, we have security. With you and me and the Lord up above, we have security. We have security. And I just really was moved and inspired by that song that he had wrote, because I believe, as I said on our first broadcast, that I believe that the Lord above inspired this man, Leon Patella, to write this beautiful song, Security. And that is the way that a woman should feel in the arms of her husband, and the husband in the arms of his wife. It should be security, to know that security is there. And when we can have that feeling and that confidence and that faith that they are no one no longer two, but they are one. So he inspired us, even as we listen and even as we say those words, we are inspired. We're so inspired because this is what God had made from the beginning. He made Adam, he made Eve, and he made them that they could live together, that they would be there one for another. And in marriage, we find that, because marriage is so important. Marriage is something that sometimes we take for granted. Yes, when we hear Leon Petella, when he began to talk about the relationship and the love that he has for that woman, or woman that he has, one that a man would have for his mate, and vice versa, we see and we can feel the love. And that love should be a love that forever. And it should not change. But when we began to look at the three stages of marriage, and we talked about some of this on last week on our first session, and we talked about there are three stages of marriage. And that first stage we talked about was being that of romance. And this is when two people, and we like to say male and female, because that is who God put together. They are full of strong, positive feeling towards one another. They are surrounded with this glow because it's nothing but love. He sees her, and all he sees is love, the beautiful bride, the bride that he's going to marry, the bride, the person that he, the partner that he married. So it's that glow. They're holding hands. Every place they go, you know, they are not embarrassed to hug or to hold each other's hand because of the love that's there. So the love is strong. The love is positive. It's a positive feeling that they are experiencing. And then the second stage that we talk about is when they face reality. And this is when the glow subsided. Now, every bride and every groom always should keep the day that they got married, the day that they said, I do. That same feeling that they had one for another, it should always and always remain as a part of their relationship. Because when a man finds a wife, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing for his life. And so, therefore, that glow and that love that they had from the beginning, it should always be there. But then sometimes in marriages, reality comes. When on that stage two, when that glow subsides, you need to ask yourself, if you're married, is that glow going out of my marriage? Am I feeling the same way that I felt the day that I was married, the day that I said I do, the first time that I see my bride, the first time I see my groom, the first time we met? Is it still there? Are you still considered? Are you still loving? Are you still kind? But then it tells us in the stage two, when reality sets in, it says that the glow subsides. And I'm saying that it's not always in all marriages, but in some marriages, the glow subsides. And it enables each other to see each mate's faults. And they become critical, and they see them, and they see them, and they see them in their weakness. And when they see them in their weakness, they're not as loving, they're not as kind, they're not as forgiving as they were before. And most times they're not in that same relationship. Sometimes we find that there even may be a little friction in their marriage because of the fact that that glow has subsided. And then they began to see the weakness in one another. And we already said that they see that critical part. They began to criticize one another, which is not good. But then we come to that last stage that we're going to talk about today. It is when a reconstruction, and that is when after they have seen the weakness and the problem surface, they began with a barrier. A barrier began to come and into their relationship. It's like the wall was coming up between them. You know, sometimes when you stop talking to one another, it's sometimes when we don't want to hear what the other person has to say, or if nothing that person say at that time interests that other person. So if we see that the body barriers, when those barriers come up, it brings hostility within the relationship of that marriage. And then you see that the heart of the partner, the heart of the mate, the heart of that groom, of that bride, of those two couples began to harden. And they began to have resentment towards their partners. And then when that happened, then the groom or the person that they married, that bride, they began to think about separating, or they began to think about divorce. And this is what we want to address today. We need that it's not a time just because you're going through some things in your life. We don't need to give up on our marriages. We don't need to bring barriers in our marriage. We need not to bring division in our marriage, but we need to try to reconstruct where we are at that point. We need to see what can be done. You know, sometimes communication shuts down in a marriage, especially when there is division between the two partners. We have to remember what Leon Patella said, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing for his life. And God said, even in, when we look at Genesis, the 18th verse said, and the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. So God made the woman for the man. He didn't make them for them to leave or separate from another. He didn't make them so that they will divorce one another, but he made them that they can come together as helpmeet. And then that's where we need to talk about, and that's where the couples need to talk about reconstruction. We've already talked about the three stages: romance, reality, and also reconstruction. And we need not give up in our marriage. Do you not know since 1965 that the national divorce rate has doubled? It says that it's more than 1 million children are involved annually in divorces. And out of every four children that are being raised, they are being raised by a single parent. But yet God said that two shall become one flesh. So where is it that we are missing it? Where is it that we are on a road to separation and division, and I'm not going to continue in this marriage, and the love it seemed as though departed from those two people. There are always ways in which the man and the woman that they can communicate, that they can talk to one another, that they can forgive one another, especially when you are saved, especially when both of you have Jesus Christ in your life. We need to be able to read the Word of God and to know what God is saying to us. There are, when we, in our marriage sometimes, and people that got married, they come and they face some kind of crossroads in their lives. And crossroads is where decisions have to be made, direction has to be given. We have to know what our destination is, and we have to know what we are going to accomplish and what our goals are. You know, life is sometimes like road signs, which may give us direction and the path that we should go and the path that we should follow. For example, the signs that we see. We talked about that last week, that there are different signs that would give us direction to follow when we're driving. There are signs that even within a marriage that we should follow. Sometimes we need to stop. We need to stop, we need to assess, we need to know what is happening in our marriage. We need not to begin to talk about divorce and separation and looking at the other person as they were the person that's causing the problem. We need to be able to stop and assess and see if what is happening, because in the natural, when we come before a stop sign, we stop because it will let us know that if we did not stop, that we can cause injury, harm, danger, or we can cause death. So we have to look at even marriage like that. Sometimes we have to just stop. Sometimes we need to not only stop, And but it tells us, the road sign tells us again, that we need to be able to yield. And I think that there is a problem sometimes in marriages, because when a couple is married, the partners don't want to yield. This is when the romance has gone out of their marriage. It seems like it's gone out of the marriage. You know, when I think about the battle that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So anytime the enemy will try to come in and he's trying to destroy what God has already put together, when he's already put that male and that female together, when he already put that bride and that groom together, the enemy will try to come in and the enemy will try to take the romance out of that relationship. And then when they begin to face reality, this is when they become to be critical of one another. But then we have to look and see at the other road sign, which says to yield. Somebody has to yield. Somebody has to what? Humble themselves. Somebody has to let the love of God abide deep down within their soul, where they do not want to let the other person say that the other winner, they won the argument, and they want to be able to win the argument of not to give in. But in every marriage, somebody needs to be able to yield. And as Christians, all of us need to be able to yield to one another, yield to the will of the Father. And that's what he did to us. That's what he does for us. He helps us to yield. He humbles us. He shows us how to yield, because he has did it for us. He showed us how to love. And the same way that he did it for us, we ought to be able to do it for our partners. And then we see signs in the road about caution. And that let us know that we're not to move too fast. We need to proceed slowly. We need to make sure we look around. We need to look ahead of, in front of us, or on the side of us. And somehow we need to look, as we said on last week, about that real view mirror. We need to really look and see what is happening in our relationship. You know, every marriage is sometimes not that perfect marriage, but the only, and because we said even then that the only person that's perfect is God. But if we can begin to let God lead us and guide us and direct us, then we can move with caution. We'll be able to see the things that's going to cause separation in our marriage, things that will cause divorce, things that will cause division, and we will slow down. And if we want to cause that marriage to work, then we're going to do that. And then after that, then we can see the green light, and we'll be able to go. And we'll be able to go into that next level. But there are many marriages today when the yielding sign, when we see that we need to yield, we don't want to yield. When we see that we need to stop, there's no stopping because of the pride that's inside of us. And because of we're not seated and we're not, we don't have the love of God like God will have us to have on the inside. But I'm speaking to every couple. You didn't just love your, fall in love with your mate just to let her go, or just let him go because of the fact of something that has been done. And a lot of times these things may be just be petty things. You may not look at them, but I think sometimes it's just a trick of the enemy. And so therefore we have to look and we have to see, how can we amend things? And the only thing that we can do is to look to God, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to learn how Ephesians told us in Ephesians 5:22-23. It says, in that 22nd verse, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. And I like that because it says to submit yourself to your own, O-W-N, to your own husband, so that, and not unto, I mean, as unto the Lord, and not unto others, but unto the Lord, as unto the Lord, not unto somebody else's husband, not unto somebody else's, but he said, why submit yourself? And then it says, for the husband is the head of the wife. See, God has already set the order in the word of God. See, we take time and we read the Word of God, then we will see the order that God has already set for the body of Christ and for the bride and for the groom and for that wife. And no matter how long or how short time that you have been married, you can always go to the Word of God and you can see how God will want you to live and how he wants you to cause your marriage the home to have longevity. It says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. And I just believe that we, as we read the scripture, we've seen in that 22nd verse of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, it says, unto your own husband, and then on the 24th verse of that same chapter, it says, wives, be to your own husband in everything. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ. Let the wives be to their husband in everything. We have to submit, no matter what we did when before we were married, no matter what, how we, the life that we live. We may have not had someone to submit to. But when you have given your life to Christ, you ought to have known and you ought to know how to submit yourself unto your mate. Because you submit yourself to your mate, like you submitting yourself unto Christ. And then it doesn't just talk about the wife and what she should do, but it also talks about the husband as well. It tells us that the husband should love their wife even as Christ loved the church. And I believe as a husband loves their wife as he loves the church, then I believe that that marriage will be like Leon Patella was saying, insecurity. I believe it will be like the Word of God tells us in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, about loving one another, about loving our wife, how the wife ought to treat her husband, how the husband should love, and how the husband should treat his wife. So if we love, if the husband loves his wife like he loved the church, and as God loved the church and gave himself for it, then we should have a beautiful marriage. Let's read that 25th verse again. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the word, of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot, a wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So that's how God wants us to present ourselves to one another. I don't believe that it's a very, very hard thing for two individuals that say that they love one another to be able to have that harmony in their marriage, to be able to keep that glow in their marriage. But it takes commitment. It takes loving one another. It takes caring for one another. It takes sometimes giving up your rights. Even when you know that you may be right, it takes giving up your right and to do those things that you as you do it as unto God. And I think that's a great thing to remember when you're doing things for your mate, whether it's your husband or whether it's the wife. You ought to do things as you doing it as unto God. That is the way God wants us to live. And He says that. He said, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it, cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of the body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So if a man is not going to harm himself, you ought not to even think about harming your wife. If a wife loves herself as well, she should not even think of harming her husband. But the word tells us in that 31st verse, it says, "But this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." And this is what God had. This is what God had created, and this is what God established from the beginning. Man and woman. He made Eve and Adam. He made Adam first. And he made the both of them so they could have that companionship. You know, it wouldn't have been right. And God knew that he just did not want to make those animals for the bee in the garden. And yes, Adam was very intelligent. He made him the type of man that had the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, but yet he wanted him to not just be surrounded by animals. Animals, they have their place, but they have no place in any relationship. So he knew that he did not want Adam to be partners with a bear. He didn't make Adam to be partners with a dog. No, he made them together as male and female, human, so that they can be able to be there for each other. And the word tells us, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and so, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. We need to take a look at our relationship. We need to see whether or not are we lining up with the word of God. When we look at the statistics, I'm talking about just in America, divorce is a common phenomenon in America. There are people who have failed to understand that the seriousness and the commitment that God has given to marriage and the expectation of marriage. Some people rather take their freedom and think their freedom is more important than making adjustments in a marriage. When things get critical, when things are not lining up the way that you may think it should line up, when there's a financial type of strain in the marriage, and sometimes things happen wherein the husband and wife, they're having arguments and friction over a financial type situation. Sometimes it can be over a car or something that he wants to do, or something that she wants to do, or something that she's not doing, or something that he is not doing. So therefore, when that's happening, sometimes the mate wants to find an easy way out, and they want their freedom, and they don't want to make an adjustment in their marriage. So therefore, the next thing they'll think about separating, and then they think about a divorce. But there are 41% of all first-time, and these are some statistics that you ought to look at and you ought to think about. There are 41% of all first-time marriages end up in divorce, and I think that that should not be. And this is not the way that God established it. He established it for that man and that woman to be there until death do you part. But we see in the United States of America, in the United States, especially in the America, we see too many divorces. And when we see like 41% of first-time married people that have gotten married for the first time, and they're ending up in divorce, this is why we have to do what we're doing as Christian counselors. We have to counsel. We have to let people know, especially those that are Christian, that God has a way that he wants us to live, and we need to be example to the unbeliever. And also, when you think that the first time people that have gotten married for the first time, when the percentage is so high, then we look at a person that's been married twice, and the number is rising. You know, when they're not satisfied, they're not happy with the partner that they have, and for some reason they get out of that relationship, and then they're going to try it again for the second time. And then we see that this is a 60% rise in percentage of the people, the amount of people that are married for the second time. And we know when we see this that we need to do something about the divorce rate. And when we learn that even in the Christian arena, these numbers are getting higher. They are higher, even sometimes in the secular. And that we'll have to question ourselves: what is happening? Why are Christians divorcing so? Why are Christians leaving one another? You know, why can't they get along with one another? And then when we look at another statistic, the partners or the people that have been in relationship and gotten married three times, the number has also risen. We find that there is a 73% of people that have married three times. You know, you're not going to get what you're looking for until you look to God. You're not going to be happy until you trust God and to give you what you need and the partner that you need. When a man finds a wife, he found a good thing for his life. But that man has to even have to acknowledge Christ, because the word of God says, in all our ways acknowledge me, and he will direct your path. And so many times we acknowledge God for so many things, but we don't acknowledge God like we should and for our mate. And if we ask God, you know, for a mate, or we ask, we find somebody that we think that we're in love with, and then instead of waiting on God for an answer, then because of the way that that person maybe looks, or maybe how she may be so beautiful, she may have a, she may be the girl that you always dream about, or you may, it may be the man that you always desire to have, and he may be tall, he may be short, he may be dark skin, or he may, whatever color, like I said, whether he may be, he may have the eyes and the nose and the ears that you desire, and vice versa. But is this the woman for you? Is this the man for you? So I'm saying to you today that there is many, many divorces in America alone. And so therefore, as a Christian counselor, we want to be able to focus on getting people to into the realm of thinking twice before they decide that they want to get married. There's a study made by Barna Research that it reveals that 25% of all adults have been divorced at least one time. And the state, another report by the state of the union in 2005, says that 63% of children in America get a chance to not get a chance to grow up with their biological parents. And that's because of the fact that we have not waited on God. We have not acknowledged him. We haven't taken that time in order to get to know the mate before we say, I do. It's not good to just date for a few weeks or a few months and decide that you're going to get married. You know, sometimes you need to wait at least about 2 years before you decide that this is going to be my mate. And you ought to wait on God. Unless God have spoken to you and told you to take this person to be your mate, you should not marry until at least about 2 years, so that you can have time to spend with this person. You know, you ought to consider, is this person, and you ought to know whether they're saved, whether they have been born again. You ought to know whether or not this person, is this person get angry quickly? Is this person a liar? Is he a thief? Does he pay his bills? Does she do the same thing? You have to consider, you know, if this person keeps changing out, every time I see them, they have a different personality. So therefore, you need to take some time out. Don't marry a person because of the finance. They could be very wealthy, but that is wealthy does not keep a marriage together. Well, somebody may say, well, it certainly helps, but it certainly can cause you to be miserable. So don't marry for the person's finance, their finance status in life, or what they may have, or what you want, or what you've been dreaming of or having, and this person that he can promise me all of these things. I'm telling you right now, as a professional Christian counselor, Don't marry that person. Seek the face of God. Wait on this person. Wait to see if this is a person that you want to marry. And when you begin to wait on this person, and you can see, you begin to see some of the things that that person had been hiding, because everybody, you know, sometimes when you're dating, different people that you seem to be like, that you like, many times they can put on facade, many times they do things for that hour, for that 2 hours, you know, but when they go home, they're completely different people. So you need time to be able to wait and to see, is this the person that I really want to marry? Is this the person I really want to spend the rest of my life with? And I know, and I realize that even in marriage, things come up. And when you, especially when you're living together, because, you know, as Christians, you don't live together. Neither do you sleep together when you are not married. But at the same time, you can be able to let God show you some things in that individual life, whether it's the male or whether it's the female. So I think that it's so important for you to be able to wait on God. In the United States alone, the United States, it is at the top of the list of all the countries that have the most divorce. The United States are changing. The world are changing. And we can't let things change in our lives like we are putting off a shoe, or taking off a dress, or putting off a shirt. It's not like that. It should not be like that. Marriage is sacred. You should not get married if you don't mean to be in that marriage for the rest of your life. I do know things change. I do realize men change. I do realize men, women change. But at the same time, we need to make an effort to stay in a marriage. That is why, as a Christian counselor, I think that if you're contemplating marriage, you need to at least wait about 2 years before you marry that individual. There is about approximately 50% of marriage that ends up in divorces. And that means, if you calculate, that means that every 2 marriages that come together, the men together, one ends up in a divorce. And this should not be. But when we look at the Word of God in Matthew 19, chapter, the 3rd verse, it says, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, he came to them, and where the Pharisees had came to Jesus and tempted him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So when that time comes, when you decide to get married, when it's a God-given time for you to get married, then God is letting us know and letting you know how that you are supposed to leave. A man should leave his father and his mother, and it should cleave unto his wife. You have a wife now, and a responsibility, and you're supposed to take care of that responsibility. That wife is your responsibility. You are to love that wife. The man ought to love his wife. The wife should love and honor and respect her husband. No matter what sometimes they do, you know, you not to put that husband down. There's been divorces because women sometimes try to dishonor their husband. They don't give them the honor that's due unto them. And so no man would like to be put down. And may I say no woman would like to be put down or make them a mate to be feel less than. But then when we can honor one another as husband and wife, and that wife and a husband, they're supposed to cleave together, they're supposed to be like one, then I believe that this would make a really a strong relationship. They can be able to keep that romance. And romance is so important, may I say, in a marriage. You know, some things that we ought to be able to look at as within ourselves to assess. And that's why I'm saying that some things that we should not do as just being in going before the minister and be married. We should be able to understand each other. How much time have you given to the situation? How long have you actually been with this person? How much do you know about this individual? You should even assess whether or not and look, you know, whether see whether or not this is an outgoing person or this is a quiet person. Some of these things, it will help you in your marriage relationship. You know, is this person always going to be as quiet as they are? Because sometimes they can bring problems. Quietness, you know, sometimes for me is good. Quietness for somebody else is not so good. Somebody may be more outgoing, and they might would like a partner that's more outgoing. And then you have to ask yourself, is this a person, is he a quick thinker? Is he slow to decide? Is she slow to decide? Is she or he, is she the city type? Or is she a country lover? And then, you know, in some instances, that can be a problem. If the person from the country and the other person from the city. But it can, with anything, when you have love one from another, you can come together, you can agree on some things, and because you love one another, because that maybe you, if you did come from the country and that other person came from the city, then there are so many things that you can still do or you can agree, and so many things that you can cause each other to be happy. Ask yourself, is this person humorous? Or is this person always serious? Is this person stern? Or is this person gentle? Is this person a leader? Or this person reluctant leader? Or the person punctual? Or the person always late? So it's so many things that we need to consider when we get into a marriage relationship, because the enemy is already there. The enemy is already wanting to bring division within that marriage. So you need to know, what can I do in order to make this marriage work? And the more that you find out about the partner, more that you listen to each other, more that you attend church together, because that's another thing. Does this person go to church? Does he like to stay home or don't want to go to church? Or is this person one type of religion, you another? That can still bring friction in your marriage. So it's so many things that you need to think of as being a person that is contemplating pre-marriage or marriage. You already been in marriage, and things are coming up in your marriage, and you are looking at the person like, I don't think this is going to work, or you don't want it to work. But as we look at the statistics, when we see all of the divorces that is happening in the United States alone, we see the United States as heading the list. And from what I understand, that the list is at the list will not change, will not get any left. We have to pray and we have to seek the face of God. And that's why I believe that the Lord will help us to talk to many people today, that so that they will know that what he has made, what he has established, what he has put together, that no man put asunder. You can't even let your mother or father separate you from your mate. And that has been done in the family. You know, it could be the man. He, you know, his mother did everything for him, cooked, ironed, and all of this, all these things like that. Then the bride comes in, mother doing the same thing, mother wanted to cook for them, and so that wife could be killed, like, you know, I'm the wife now, I want to be able to do for my own husband. That can bring friction within the home. So therefore, we need to learn how to be able to get along together. Again, the word says, therefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And they said unto him, who did Moses? We don't want to know what Moses did, but they knew that Moses had given a command to give a written divorcement and to put their wives away. But Christ said, because of the hardness of their heart, they suffered you to put away your wine, but from the beginning, it was not so. This is not something that God established from the beginning. And we should be able to work together, to be able to remember the first day that we was married, the first time when we said, I do, the first time when you even thought about this is the person that I want to marry. You need to think about the way that you looked at him, the way that he looked at you, and when you thought about forever being in that relationship, that should not change. It should not change. So we want you to think about your marriage relationship. Think about not going to the divorce court and getting a divorce so quickly, not separate. I do realize that there are people that are not saved, that other partners are married to, that sometimes when they begin to bring harm to the body or friction or verbal abuse or physical abuse, there are times when you have to separate. There are times when sometimes that, in the Word of God, give us and let us know when to divorce. So we began to read the Word of God. We understand what the Word of God is saying to us. Then we can be able to be in that reconstruction area of that three areas of marriage. We'll be able to do reconstruction in our marriage. First, romance, reality, and reconstruction. And it's time that we should do more and encourage more people. You know, sometimes it's been where there may have been friends or best friends, but you know what? If I was you, I would leave him. If I was you, I would leave her. But you need to be led by the direction of the Most High God. Who told you to marry her? Who told you to marry him? So therefore, you need to make sure that when you start thinking about divorce, that you need to make sure that you have followed the Word of God, that you have done all that you could according to the Word of God. And if you have did all according to God's Word, He'll let you know what you should do concerning your marriage, concerning your life with your partner. Remember, when a man finds a wife, he has found a good thing for his life. And a woman will agree. Companionship has made her fearful complete. With you and me and the Lord above, we have security, we have security. He said, when you think you fill my life with so much joy, I can't even remember how I was before. And though sometimes we disagree, you still know that I love you and you love me. With you and me and the Lord above, we have security. We have security. So we want to leave you with that on today. And we want you to know that there is a God that sits in heaven. There is a God that sits up high. There's a God that looks down low. There's a God that knows the intent of your heart. There's a God that knows the intent of the heart of your partner. There's a God that knows who you are to marry and who you are to stay away from. There is a God that will give direction to your life. And as a professional Christian counselor, I'm going to advise you, and I say it again, acknowledge God in all your ways that he can direct your path. Don't get married to the first person that say, I want to marry you. Don't marry that person that say that God told me to marry you. If you haven't heard from God, you need to wait on God and let God lead God and direct you. This has been Crossroads with Dr. Mary Beth McCoy. We're going to invite you to join us on next Monday at 5 o'clock as we go through the Word of God, as we give you instruction to tell you how to live and how God wants you to live and how happiness can be manifested in your life forever when you put God at the head of your life. Again, join us on next Monday at 5 o'clock for the Crossroads broadcast.